You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Cynthia Schuster. As the American population ages, more and more people will need in-home health care or help provided by in-home nurses or aides. As more people need this kind of care, the number of older Americans who are providing it is growing, too.
The number of workers over the age 55 in the home health care industry is skyrocketing, according to some professionals. What is driving the increase? How does the number of older workers change things for the home healthcare industry?
Here to break down the new trend is Abby Marquand. She's the Associate Director of Policy Research at the Paraprofessional Healthcare Institute. Abby, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you.
Let's start with the numbers here. How big of an uptick in older workers are you seeing?
Well, we expect that over the next 10 years that the number of direct care workers that are over 55 is going to increase by close to 70%. So it's really a dramatic increase in that age group of workers, much greater of an increase than in other age groups.
Wow. What's driving the trend?
Well, the traditional labor pool for home care workers is actually pretty much stagnating at this point, so we're not really seeing growth there, but we are seeing an increased demand for these supports and services. So home care workers are projected to grow. The demand is projected to grow by 50% in the next 10 years, so we're going to need a lot more workers to provide those services. And really, because there's just not that many younger workers, older workers are moving towards this field. It's an increasing trend.
What is appealing to older workers about this industry that they're looking to go there in the years to come?
Well, I think for a lot of people, they actually may have a natural affinity for this sort of work, either because they've been caregivers in their life in some other capacity, maybe caring for an older family member or sometimes just caregiving for their children. You know, they have an interest in this type of work. And then also there's elements of this work that I think are appealing to older people, in particular the fact that it can often be part-time and hours are flexible. So I think those are things that really do appeal to older people when they move towards this work.
Let's take a step back a little bit and talk about what exactly is in-home health care. What kind of job duties are we talking about?
Well, it's really a really large range of things that these workers do, but it's everything from essential supports and services like helping people bathe and eat, helping them toilet, all the way to things like helping them get to doctor's appointments, helping them buy groceries. So it's really the full spectrum of things that enable people to stay in their homes even with pretty severe functional limitations.
What kind of physical demands are there for in-home care workers?
Well, it's pretty physically taxing work, largely because it tends to be one-on-one, so it's just the worker and the client, and often it requires things like transferring them from the bed to the wheelchair or to the toilet, helping with bathing and things like that require a lot of lifting. And for that reason, these jobs are actually pretty dangerous. So injury rates are high for direct care work generally. And a lot of the injuries are the kind of injuries that take people out of work for a long time. So there are things like back injuries, other musculoskeletal injuries that, are pretty tough.
So let's say that I'm interested in doing this type of work, but I'm about 60 years old and I'm just not sure if I'm well suited for it. Is there a way I can tell that I'm in a well enough condition to step into the in-home care industry?
Well, I think it's definitely going to depend on the client that you're working for, because some people are going to be much higher need than others. But I think that from a policy perspective, we really advocate that training can help prepare people for this and also help educate them on the kind of skills that they're going to need to do this, and so that they can see if the work's right for them. So there's all sorts of training programs that people can participate in to get a better sense of this.
What resources are available to educate oneself about it?
Well, we at PHI, we have a lot of resources at our organization in terms of training resources, and then we also do a lot of policy work. So if you were to visit our website, you know, you could find a lot of information there, and we're at phinational.org. And that, you know, from us, you can actually find information about ways to get involved in this work.
You mentioned earlier that there is going to be an increasing demand for this type of work. What other factors might play into the need for in-home care workers? Is turnover an issue? Is retention rate an issue in the field?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's really an issue. Turnover is a big deal, and it's, you know, some estimate around 50% in this type of work, and that's, you know, because I mentioned it's very physically taxing, it's emotionally draining as well, because you're dealing with somebody who has a lot of needs and a lot of emotional needs sometimes. But also these jobs are just not traditionally of very high quality, so they tend to be very low wage. So home care workers nationally, the median hourly wage is only around $10 an hour. And a lot of these workers are working part-time. More than half are working part-time. So their earnings are very low. A lot of them qualify for public assistance because their earnings are so low. Very few of them have health insurance compared to other types of workers. So really, there's just not a lot of benefits that come with this work in terms of wages and health insurance. So, you know, in order to actually recruit more workers and to reduce the turnover, we argue that the quality of these jobs really needs to be improved.
And the people who are stepping into the work, is it seen as a stepping stone position maybe for someone who is going on to become a registered nurse or some other position in the healthcare field?
I think it can be that for some people, although I think that's actually a pretty small percentage of people that really do use this as a career ladder type job. I think for a lot of people, this is really, the work that they end up doing. And we need these workers. So even if there were enough jobs for everybody to move upwards towards, you know, higher level nursing jobs, we would still really need to recruit enough workers to take care of people in their homes. So really, you know, that's the argument for making these jobs better.
In a lot of other fields, older workers have said that they feel underappreciated or even unwelcome. How are older workers received in-home health care?
You know, from what we can see, it's actually very different in home health care. We see that a lot of times there's a strong connection between an older worker and the client that they're serving. And, you know, and some of that is just because they may have shared interests. But there's also kind of an emotional maturity, I think, that comes, at least for some people, with age. And that can really help them, you know, provide compassionate care to somebody. So I think this is, you know, a place where older workers could be of very high value.
So from the client's standpoint, they may not just be meeting someone who's going to come and help them, but maybe find a companion, someone that they have something in common with, in part due to similar age and life experience.
Definitely, definitely. It's an opportunity to really build a relationship. I mean, it definitely requires a lot of work. It's very taxing work to be a home care worker, but there's also absolutely a relationship that develops between the worker and the client, and that's really important.
We're talking with Abby Marquand from the Paraprofessional Healthcare Institute about the rise of older workers in the home healthcare industry.
And we want to hear from you on this. Have you ever used in-home healthcare for yourself or maybe someone in your family? What was your experience like? Are you surprised to hear about this increase in the number of older workers in home healthcare? Are you one of those workers? What's it like? How do you keep up with the physical demands? Or maybe you're considering this as a second career. Give a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can send us an email, talk@wpr.org.
We'll take your calls in a minute, and we'll hear from an older home care worker from Wisconsin. But first, here's a look at the headlines with Kristen Durst.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Cynthia Schuster, filling in for Veronica Rickert. We're continuing our conversation about the rapid increase of older workers in the home health care field with Abby Marquand, Associate Director of Policy Research at the Paraprofessional Healthcare Institute.
We'll take your calls in just a moment. Have you ever used in-home health care in your family or for yourself? Are you a home health care worker? Are you one of the older home health care workers that we're talking about? What's it like? Tell us about a day on the job. Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email talk@WPR.org.
Before we get to your calls, we have a Wisconsin-based home health care worker with us. Her name is Sharon Becker. She works with Cooperative Care. Sharon, welcome to Central Time.
Well, thank you very much.
Talk about your experience so far. How long have you been a home health care worker?
Actually, it will be 2 years very shortly. And I love what I do. It's very rewarding, and being able to help the seniors be able to stay in their home is just a fantastic feeling. It's great.
May I ask how old you are?
Do I have to tell that on the radio? No, I'm 64, actually.
You sound not a day older than 29.
No, actually, I don't feel old. I just have the birth certificate is wrong.
Yeah, yeah. Well, how did you decide to get into this field?
Well, what happened is, just before I started at the co-op, my best friend was sick with cancer, and her daughter was an RN, and herself and myself took care of her till the end. And then after that, her husband got extremely sick, and I took care of him like 6 days a week. He had lots of problems and ileostomy, and so I learned how to take care of the wounds and empty that and take care of all that. And I thought, you know, I really like this. It's kind of rewarding to take care of and help people when you can. And so I decided to apply at Cooperative Care, and I was hired, and it's been the best thing for me. I love it.
Is it all similar to what you were doing before, and what were you doing before?
This is a totally different, totally different field. I was in customer service and banking for 33 years.
Oh, wow. So when you applied for this job, did Cooperative Care look at your resume and say, gee whiz, you don't have much along these lines. I don't know about hiring you. And what was their reaction when they met you?
Well, I kind of think it was like, oh, banking, that's not the same. But they knew I'd had a lot of experience with taking care of my two friends, and I think that might have helped me a little bit because my friend's daughter was an RN, so she taught me a lot of things that helped me to learn many things before I even came here, you know, so it was great, you know.
And you say that it's been a rewarding experience,
yeah,
for you. What is it about it that is so rewarding and keeps you going?
I think, you know, and hours are long, and they're, you know, they can be taxing, but I think just knowing that you're helping someone, and all different ages. It doesn't have to be seniors you're taking care of. It can be younger people that have many needs, and I do have many of those also that are much younger than me. And that's very rewarding also, because these people, a lot of them never leave their home. I mean, they look forward to me coming there. I'm like part of their life, you know. They'll say to me, oh, how did those 2 hours go so fast? Can't you stay a little longer? You know, and it makes you feel great to know that someone really needs you and is happy for the care you give them.
Is there anything about the job that you find particularly challenging and that brings you down a little bit? And how do you address that?
I guess the only thing I can say at that point would be the fact when I lose a client. Because I'm kind of an emotional person, and to lose someone that I become close to these people. I tell them, you're like my family. I don't even see my family as much as I see you people. And so when someone gets extremely ill and does pass away, that I've got to say is my hardest part of my job. And I don't know if that'll ever get any better, but I tried so hard to be strong for the survivors also, you know.
Do you ever think that you'll need in-home health care, and how is your experience, how do you think it'll inform your decisions later in life?
You know, we all hope we don't have to have home health care someday, but that none of us know that. And I think that knowing what I know now would help me to find the proper place to get home health care that's good home health care. And knowing what I know, and I feel that that's also a good thing because, you know, you could. There's a lot of agencies out there. They're probably not all that great. I don't know a lot about agencies, but I know that the agencies I work for are very well and very good, and I like it here a lot. So.
For anybody who might be thinking about taking that leap and changing their career path a bit and heading into the home health care field, what advice do you have for them, and what might you say to them to persuade them to take that leap?
I would guess that just the fact that I guess I've always been a person to try to help people and make them happier, and I guess if that's the kind of thing you like to do, then and be there for someone they need you, then that's what you should get into. And a lot of people I noticed that I've worked with over the past 2 years have been people who are younger girls that maybe are originally going to go on to nursing. You know, this is like a stepping stone for them, you know, in between. And that's a good thing to do, too, because it teaches them a lot of things before they get on to the last part of their life where they're going to working. So I guess I think that, and more so maybe probably for people not quite my age, but maybe in that age bracket, that you want to have the feeling that you are helpful in your life, even though you're getting older, that you can help people that need help. I have no children, so to me, this is like my family, and I feel so good to be able to help them.
Well, Sharon, thank you so much for talking about your experience with us.
Thank you.
That's Sharon Becker. She works with Cooperative Care. She's a home health care worker, and that's what we're talking about this half hour. We'll talk as well once again to Abby Marquand. She's with Paraprofessional Health Institute. And Abby, what's your response to Sharon's story there? Is that a common story that you hear?
You know, I think, I don't know how common it is, but I'm sure that there are people that share those same feelings that Sharon does. And I really think that those are the people that, you know, they demonstrate how important this work is, because it's a two-way street. It's important for the client, but it's also important for the caregiver to find meaning in their work. And I think that Sharon just really articulated that so well.
She brought up something I hadn't even thought about, which is the reality that you may lose a client, clients pass away. How difficult is that to cope with, and what's your advice to someone who gets really attached to their clients?
You know, I think that's another really hard part of this work, this work is absolutely undervalued, and another really hard part is that, you know, you are going to lose people that you work with and you have become close to them. And I think that that's something that people need to really consider before they go into this, because I'm not sure that everyone's cut out for it. You know, it can be very emotionally difficult. So it's something to consider beforehand, for sure.
Let's take a call from Kathleen in Menominee. Hi, Kathleen.
Hello. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I've worked as a home health care worker for a long time. I've worked both for an agency, which I liked because they found clients and they organized it. Of course, your pay is going to be less if it's the agency getting paid and then you being paid by the agency. I've also done work, gotten jobs word of mouth for other families, and in that way you get to be paid a little bit more. I really like being able to be one-on-one with a client and their family.
Thank you, Kathleen, for sharing that. Let's talk next to Marcia in Madison. Marcia, what's your question or comment?
Oh, I want some of the names of your callers. They're very compassionate caregivers. And I'm an old nurse who probably will need that care soon. But what I'm questioning is how technology has progressed that it might be helpful to caregivers. Like, there isn't anybody that I know that's done this kind of work that doesn't have a crippled back. And my son needed that kind of care, and they still were using the old Hoyer lifts. So I'm just curious if your guest is aware of any research or things coming down the pike that might be helpful to caregivers, both paid and unpaid.
Abby Marquand, do you know?
You know, I think there definitely is a lot of technological advances that make this care easier for people. It's definitely more difficult in a home setting to get all of the equipment that you need to kind of make these things happen easily and smoothly, but I do think it, you know, that there are assistive devices out there that really can help caregivers, I think it's a growing trend.
Let's talk to Karen in Milwaukee. Hi, Karen.
Hi.
What's your question? Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I'm a healthcare worker, but for adults with disabilities, and even though it's low pay, I just love my clients so much, so I've stuck with it. But I make $4 an hour more working privately than I did for an agency. And if my client passes away, I'll have to go back to the agency, and I don't know if I can make ends meet. And besides the fact that because you don't need any schooling, you just need a high school diploma, there are a lot of caregivers I've worked with and that are not quality. And they can do as much or as little as they want without being supervised. And I know of people with disabilities who are not well taken care of, and it breaks my heart.
Thanks, Karen. Abby, I think that speaks to something you had mentioned before, that the home health industry could use some improvements in the way of the work environment for the healthcare professionals. What recommendations do you have specifically?
Well, aside from, you know, improving wages and benefits, we strongly advocate for improved training. So what your caller just mentioned, I think, is a real problem, and that there's a lot of untrained workers out there. And honestly, very few states require training for personal care aides, which are the workers that do a lot of this home care work. And so we advocate at PHI that, you know, states really improve their training standards for this workforce, so that we can ensure that there are, you know, skilled and trained professionals that are doing this in people's homes. And I think that that's a really important thing.
Real quick, in our last few moments here, what, if anything, does the Affordable Care Act do in the way of the home care professional health industry?
Well, we're hoping that it's going to mean health insurance for a lot of this workforce who haven't had health insurance before, either through Medicaid expansion in some states or through employer-sponsored insurance through agencies. So we think that it could make a big difference for these workers and help stabilize these jobs and hopefully then improve the quality of the care.
Well, Abby, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
That was Abby Marquand, Associate Director of Policy Research at the Paraprofessional Healthcare Institute.